up in John 3 and 20. We're talking about light or the absence of light. There's a very simple definition for light. Light is the absence of darkness. If we turn off the lights in here, it's absolutely dark. If you have the slightest candle in here, it lights up the whole room in varying degrees. So light is the absence of darkness, and darkness is the absence of light. I think when we arrive in heaven, we're going to be amazed at how many people that we thought had light, but light that was in them was really darkness. You can't ever really understand what the light is until you receive it. There are an awful lot of counterfeit believers who never have received the light. Their hearts have never really been changed, and they spend their whole life trying to convince themselves that they're saved. They usually are the ones that cause the most problem in churches, because they struggle in darkness thinking they have light. They're very much like the Pharisees of old. The Lord warned them, he said, very clearly, he said, beware that the light that is in thee be not darkness. The only reason I know I have light is because of these scriptures and what they mean to me and how they warm my soul, how they give me great strength and great comfort. But I've discovered in 30 years pastoring this church that there have been some people that really were full of darkness that made a practice of trying to be Christians. And in their own mind, they actually thought they were, when they were really children of darkness. The law was given to the nation of Israel by the hand of Moses to manifest God's light to them, because the law represents the light of God's standard of righteousness. The law was given to the nation of Israel by the hand of Moses to manifest God's light to them, because the law represents the light of God's standard of righteousness. How great the number of people actually are that today claim to be children of light, but they are trying to keep the light of God and the perfection of God, and they are trying to live up to the light that God has. God had to give me light, and God had to give me righteousness. And the only way that I could ever attain it was for God to show me how imperfect, how sinful, and how undeserving I was of receiving it. And I had to take it as an absolute unmerited gift given by God. Some people say they're saved, and then they spend their whole lives trying to manifest their righteousness to others and trying to get others to measure up to their standard of life and their standard of what they say is righteousness. They can't understand the Word of God, and they usually become intensely irritated when they're brought in conflict with it. Christ, who is the personification of God in sinless human flesh, manifesting the righteousness of the law by being the only human being that ever measured up to the law standard of his Father's righteousness by keeping every minuscule part of it. You were born in spiritual darkness, and so was I. Being born in spiritual darkness, we had no awareness of what spiritual light really is until the light of God in the person of Jesus Christ and him suffering, wounded, and bleeding on the cross shined into our hearts by the power of God and let us see a man hanging there, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, having manifested the light of God for the first time on this earth by a man, having manifested it to all men, and showing the love and light of God in himself in his own body as he took our sins in it and as he shed his blood so that we might have his life. The light Christ manifested before man was his keeping of God's perfect law. It amazes me how many people say they're saved and keep on trying to keep God's law to maintain it. And they think that if they can continue to measure up to some degree of righteousness, that God will say, okay, you receive my son as your Savior. Now I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to keep the law, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. And they struggle through life still carrying the same burden that they carried before they supposedly were saved. The light Christ manifested before man was his keeping of God's perfect law, and only he could do it. God dwelled among us as a perfect man, as a man who, as you observed his life, as you read about it, studied it, and compared it with your own, you came to realize what a miserable failure you were. And you came to understand that the only man who ever lived on this planet, who God looked down upon and saw a man that lived up to his righteousness, to his light, to his perfection, the only man who ever kept God's standard of righteousness. I owe him everything. He owes me nothing. And yet, in spite of the fact that I was born totally depraved, that I was born sold under sin, that I was born in bondage to sin, that I had no light, that I was in total darkness, trying to manufacture light and something before God that he would find pleasing, Christ chose to let his light, his perfection, his righteousness, his love shine into my heart. And I received him. Put my faith in him and his works, and what he has done, is doing, and shall do for me. Letting his light be seen in him by all who would come to him through him. I came to God through Jesus Christ. And I came with the awareness that I was utterly, completely, absolutely helpless, unable to save myself. And after I got saved, it didn't take me very long to realize by the light in his word that I couldn't maintain the standard of righteousness that the one who had saved me gave me. God means for me to try, but a Pharisee and a hypocrite is someone who, after they're saved, says, now I can keep the law. Now I have Christ in me. Now I've been born again. And now I'm going to live for God, and if I live for God, I'll go to heaven. That is the height of hypocrisy by a so-called child of God who thinks that he can measure up to God's standard of righteousness before he was saved, as he was being saved, or after he's saved. Do I try not to lie? Certainly. Do I try not to lust? Certainly. Do I try not to break the commandments of God? Absolutely. But by the grace of God, I will not for one moment believe or ever teach or preach that you or I have any righteousness of our own except the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it is totally by his blood and totally by his flesh and body offering that I stand justified before God, and by nothing else. And if you don't come to the Father, to the Son, you are still in darkness. And you are still wandering without light. God set him as the light of a lamp so that all the world could see the light of his observing every jot and tittle of the law, which is the standard of the great righteousness of his Father. It is the light that is in Christ that is meant to show forth in the lives of those who believe in him as the light of God. There are a lot of people who put out light, an outward light. They talk religious game. They sound anxious to please God. They work their physical tails off for him. They put on a good outward veneer, and sometimes even deceive themselves. But if the light of God is not in them, and if Christ is not in them transforming them, then it's a falsetto, ungenuine light that didn't come from God, but is a darkness that tries to manifest itself as light. Matthew 5:15-18. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You know why those good works are good? Because you've got the only good man who ever lived living inside you. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but the Father." And then shortly after, he said, "I and the Father are one." Nobody is good except Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. Nobody is good enough to keep God's standard of righteousness. And for people that walk around acting like goody two-shoes and say, "I do this, I do that, I have this talent, I have that talent, I do this, I do that, I'm working here, I'm working there, I'm doing this, I'm doing that," you would be amazed at what kind of work I do for God. I sometimes really question their salvation. Because all you ever hear are a bunch of personal pronouns. I. But a person that receives Christ, it isn't long until they come to realize the only good thing about them is Jesus Christ. The Lord clearly told us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship." That's what the new birth is, a workmanship of God. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." That's what happens in the new birth. God places you in Christ Jesus and places Christ Jesus in you positionally. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in." Don't you ever think for one minute that what you do as God's little helper is something you did on your own initiative. If it hadn't been for God's Son inside you, and if you hadn't been born again, and your works are performed out of darkness, they're not acceptable to God. It has to be the light of Christ inside you that makes you do what you do. Otherwise, it's not good before God, and it's not acceptable. And the truth of the matter is, that's what this church has always been based on. It's always been based on Christ. It's always been based on him being the head of it. And it's always been based on anything you do in this church, doing it for Christ, and doing it by the leadership of Christ, and doing it out of the love and compassion of God that's in Christ. Because when you learn to do what you do according to the Scriptures for the honor and glory of God, it has to be through his Son. "And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Only good thing about you is Jesus. Only good thing about me is Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, and what you have in you is darkness, you can stand up and make a profession of faith and claim all those sorts of things. But if you've never repented of your sins and recognized yourself for the totally depraved creature you are, and come to Christ trusting in him, you're just as lost as the day that you first were convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." He sure didn't come to destroy it. If he hadn't fulfilled it, nobody else could have. But he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. As God's Son, he knew that the law was the standard of the righteousness of God, and he was both God and man. And believe it or not, this man, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily, was a man who was God, and who had a will of his own. And he chose to obey his Father in every single jot and tittle of the law. None of you could have done that. I couldn't have done it. No man could have done it. Only God could have done it. And he did it in Christ Jesus. And all glory to God must be given through the Son, the man Christ Jesus, who did it not to appease or please himself, but because he loved us and gave himself for us. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And it was all fulfilled in one lone, single, solitary man, made by his father in the Virgin Mary's womb, made without sin, brought forth as the last Adam, the second Adam, the final Adam, born with a perfect body, made by God his Father, and God his Father indwelt him in all his fullness. And that man walked on this earth until his crucifixion and never once committed one single infraction of a very deep, wide, and comprehensive law, series of commandments and rules that God had given. And he fulfilled it. And one jot or tittle will never pass from the law, because Christ fulfilled it all at Calvary. The final act of the law was finished at Golgotha. After having kept the law perfectly all his life, he performed the final act of the law on the cross. What is the great commandment in the law? Matthew 22:34-30. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, one who understood the law, a scribe, a keeper of the law, asked him a question, tempting him. It was a loaded question. And saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus told him. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. If any one of you sitting here, saved like godly attitude, that you can do this, then please don't come back here anymore, because you don't belong here. You've gone on to some type of a sinless perfection. I can't do that. You say, oh, you can do it now. If you believe that, you're just as in much darkness as you were when the Holy Spirit first started convicting. You can't do it. But Jesus did. He said, this is the first and great commandment. The second one, I surely hope you don't think you can do this. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Don't even start to think for one moment that you can deceive anybody here by telling them that you love all men more than you love yourself. That's the greatest game of self-deceit that exists on this planet. You've always loved yourself. God understands that. It's part of the fallen condition. You put yourself above everything else. You say, well, you don't understand. I really love my husband. I really do this, blah, blah, blah. Don't give me that baloney. Your self-survival and your carnal flesh is still very much active. And don't give me these pitiful rules about how you did this and how you did that. It won't work. I can't do this. May I present my case? God be merciful to me, a sinner. Here I am, 72 years old, saved for 60 years, pastored this church for 30 years. God be merciful to me. Said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the Pharisee who stood there and bragged of all his accomplishments. Watch out for people that brag about their accomplishments. Watch out. Just watch out, because they're dangerous. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law of Moses and all the writings of the prophets about Messiah and about what he had come to do. These two commandments, he said, on these two commandments hang all the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. He said, hang all the first five books of the Bible. And all the prophetic books of the Bible. He says, these two commandments, it all hangs on those two. And here's the wonderful, marvelous thing about the Lord. As he hung on the cross, all the law and the prophets were hanging around his neck, on his shoulders. And he finished the work he had been sent to do. He had loved his Father with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, all his will. He had loved his Father's will with all his heart, and submitted to his will rather than the will he possessed as a man, and then eternally proved to the world that he loved mankind, made up of his many neighbors. He truly loved his neighbors, all mankind, as kinsmen in the flesh, more than he loved himself, his own life. I deeply regret that it took me so long to really appreciate and respect that, and to understand what motivation is supposed to lead you in your service for Christ. If you have the light of God in your heart, if you've been saved, if you've been born again, behold your Lord. Behold your God. And first time, every time, that you see in something that the Lord wants you to do, you don't have to do it to go to heaven. You're saved. But you're set free. And you can return his own love to him by being willing to serve him and put him first in your life and being willing to do what you do for the honor and glory of God and not for the forwarding of your own cause. His life is the only sacrifice God will accept as the eternal offering for our sins. Pardon me. Hallelujah. How could I live if God required more than his offering? How could you live if God expected you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your might and your soul and your neighbor as yourself? How could you face every day knowing what a self-righteous hypocrite you are, deceiving the world by people to think you could? You have no idea how grateful I am that God will accept as the eternal offering for our sins. That one offering on the cross took me out from underneath the burden and the weight of the law, which I could not do, and set me free to make the attempt, daily failing, but daily going to God and seeking forgiveness through the only man who ever did. John 19:28-30. After this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and he filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Right there is where every jot and tittle of the law was finished. That's where it was all finished. And it's valid to the end of the world, to the end of creation. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus spoke of this fast approaching end of his works in 19:28-30 to the disciples in John 17:1-5. John 17:1-5. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He gave his Son to all men. And all men have a free will choice to accept the eternal life that came through Christ. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, the only man who ever did. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He was the only man who could. He finished every jot and tittle of the law. He kept it to the very last. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The law was the light of God's righteousness given to man to teach him that he did not possess righteousness before God. That's why he gave the law. And that the only righteousness man could ever possess was the righteousness of God that he would impute to him through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 3:10-23. And as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Galatians 3:21, 26. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But God couldn't give us his standard of righteousness to keep when we couldn't keep it. And he had to keep it himself in Christ. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, a teacher, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I have no other justification before God than Jesus Christ. I have no other offering before God for my justification other than that of Jesus Christ. I have no other blood other than the blood of Christ for my justification. He took my sins, all of them, in his body on the tree, because when I came to him, I came to him totally, absolutely helpless, unable to save myself, a rotten, corrupt sinner in darkness. You know what I am now? I am a sinner in the flesh, but have the light of God living inside me in the person of Christ, and he has sealed my soul with his own spirit. And now there's a daily battle between the light of God which is in me, Jesus Christ, and the darkness which is in my flesh, and the devil and his demons who are in the world. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The absence of light in Israel, a nation in darkness since the cross. Well, I think I'll start right here, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, because it has to do with Israel and darkness. When I got saved, I had no idea how really totally indebted I am to God. I had no idea that it was the power of God that God wanted to do the work. I had no idea how much of my own personality and my own human desires in the flesh were involved in my service to God. I still don't fully recognize it. But the longer I go, the easier my life becomes in service to God. I do a lot of praying. I ask God's Spirit to protect this church. To guide us, direct us, and to lead us. I'm not but I don't run with his head. I'd like to know